So everything had changed. In the 20 years I had been absent from my neighborhood of Astoria, Queens, in New York City, everything had changed.
Just made New York City.
New York City.
So I lived in New York for a while. So what? You want to fight about it?
I don't know.
Now, I growed up in Mineola, just two hoots and a holler away. You know what they say, you can take the boy out of Mineola, but there'll always be something wrong with him. So Christy and I left New York. We came back to Texas. Man, I was happier than a hound dog with two tails. Finer than frog hair, split four ways. I was so happy I had to sit on my hands just to keep from waving at the people. But we visit, is that enough Texas stuff? Like, am I forgiven for living in New York for a while? Okay, thank you. So we visited New York a few years ago, and I wanted to show the kids our old stomping grounds, but everything had changed. The neighborhood had drifted away from what I recognized, right? But it was a slow drift. You know, the charming Greek diner didn't become a Starbucks overnight. You know, it took years for the luxury high-rise apartments to overtake the corner bodega. And then the neighborhood barbershop wasn't trimmed into a health club in a New York minute, right? It was a slow drift. The neighborhood gradually drifted away from what I recognized and became something altogether different, except the pizza place. God is good, and some things remain. Pizza.
It's like right here is my favorite New York pizza joint. And I'm going to go get me a New York slice.
So the neighborhood had drifted away from what I recognized. And we are in week two of our series in Hebrews, and the text warns us not to drift. Because we can very easily drift and end up somewhere and someone we don't want to be. So Hebrews tells us stay anchored to this hook that's going to pull us through the series, that Jesus is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. Can we say that together? Jesus is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. So what that means is Jesus is sustaining everything by his power. He is holding it together. So if you came here today feeling like you are falling apart, it is Jesus who can hold you together, who is faithful enough, who has the power to hold you together. Or maybe something happened recently and you feel like your life has been shattered. You feel like it's broken into more pieces than you can count. It is Jesus who can pick up those pieces and put them where they belong. And he can do it because he is seated in his throne. His work of forgiveness and salvation are complete. And he is inviting you and welcoming you into a future where there is no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever, and he is making all things new. And that is our hope. So Hebrews says, don't drift away from that. Right? Don't be pulled away by a quick fix or a shortcut. Don't be duped by an escape of fleeting pleasure. Right? But fix your sails. Set your course on Jesus, who is our help today, who is our hope for tomorrow. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful for who you are, for what you have done, that you have overcome the grave, that you invite us into true life in your Son. Thank you for the life here today. Thank you for the sounds of families and kids and the beauty of your body, the church. Thank you. God, thank you for your truth. Spirit, would you move today in a way that is undeniable and bring about change in all the places you need to, even the places we resist. Have your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our text today is Hebrews 2. If you want to turn there, go all the way to the end of your Bible. Back up a little bit and you'll find it. We're in Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4. This is a continuation of Hebrews chapter 1. In chapter 1, we learn that Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is greater than angels. Jesus is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. Now, chapter 2 tells us what to do in response to that truth. It begins with the words so, not so buttons, but as in therefore, because, since, so this is true now, do this. So if you're able, would you stand, and I'll read our scripture reading, Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Take a seat. Take a seat. Take a load off your feet. What? So, our text today is about a message, right? It's a message that was announced by Jesus and then confirmed by God, so it must be an important message, right? It must be a very important message, like the most important message that has ever been communicated, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So do you think we should hear that message? Yes, I think we should. Yes, that means it is story time. Oh boy, it's story time. Our story is going to begin in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made light shine in the darkness. He created the earth and the sky. He poured out the ocean without spilling a single drop. He filled the sky with stars, the sea with fish, the land with animals. God made this beautiful, beautiful creation. And then he created his masterpiece. He created us. He made people. And parents and grandparents and people who love these kids, I see you look at this and go, yes, that's God's masterpiece, but I want you to hear God says you. Gray hair and bad hips and bald heads, you are his masterpiece. God made people in his image and creation was complete, and he looked out over his creation and God said, this is good. This is good. So Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, lived with God in perfect peace. Until they were tempted with a little bit more. The antagonist, the enemy, the most deceitful deceiver appeared and lied to Eve. He warped God's word and he worked hard to convince her that she wanted. No, that she needed. No, that she deserved. She deserved more than what God provided. And she justified her desire. She took what God had warned her against. Adam joined her, and then their perfect peace with God was broken, and sin pierced paradise. And sin may be a word that's loaded for you. It may have a history, so let's define it. Sin is anything that makes you further from God. Now, throughout the Bible, there are some very clear lists. These things are sin, always will be sin. They will make you further from God. There are things God tells us. These things will make you further from me. There's also things that we think about or do, and we find ourselves further from God. And for you, those things are sin. So anything that makes us further from God is sin. It was sin that separated Adam and Eve from God. And God immediately responded. And he promised to bring them back, to restore their relationship through a Savior. He told the enemy, I will cause hostility between you and the woman. Between your offspring and her offspring, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. So her offspring, this is pointing to Jesus. That God would send his son as the Savior to restore their relationship. Jesus, God's son, God in flesh, came to this world to restore our relationship with God. right, to rob death of its victory and to give us life. True, abundant, overflowing life in him. And he came to people who were hurting. He came to people who were broken. He came to people that it took everything they had to get out of bed, to leave the house, and it's a miracle that they even came to church this morning. He came to people who were in chains of addiction and depression and loneliness. He came to people who were angry at him, who were wrestling with him, who were doubting, who were questioning him. He came for us. He came for you. As we inherit sin from Adam and Eve, we are born separated from God. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while we were separated, Jesus came and died for us to bring us back and restore our relationship with God. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. I'm a dude enough, just like any other dude, to step back and say, maybe this is weird, right? Maybe this is foreign to you. Maybe it sounds kooky to you. Maybe you've heard the first part of this, right? Maybe you've seen it on a sign at a football game or something. God so loved the world. But maybe you heard it in a place where you felt judged. Maybe you heard it in a place where people were judging you, telling you you're not good enough, you don't belong here. Maybe this next verse, maybe you're not as familiar with that. That God did not send his son into the world to condemn you, but to save you. That you have a place in God's family, and he sent Jesus to bring you home. You belong in his family. And he made a way, and he didn't do it once you got your life together, right? He didn't do it once you stopped doing bad things. He became a better person. He did it right when you were in the mess, right when you were in brokenness. He came to this world to get in the mess, in the brokenness with us to bring us out. So today, if you feel like you're in the thick of it, you feel like you are at rock bottom, you've made a mess of everything, you've dug a hole, and you can't even see your way out, God is faithful to get in there with you, to bring you out. He sent Jesus to bring you out, to save you. He gave Jesus to give you eternal life and restore your relationship with him today. So if you've never responded to that invitation, I want to give you the opportunity today. We're going to do something very different. Jake is going to come up. He's going to lead us in worshiping through a song. We're going to have prayer partners available. Steve Pontius, one of our elders, will be in the back. Christine, my wife, we'll be up here to pray with ladies if you want to pray. I'll be over here. We'll love to pray with you about anything, or if you feel God calling you and you want to respond and accept his offer of salvation, we'd love to answer questions you have about that or pray with you or help walk you through that, because that is the gospel of Jesus and you are responding today. Ignoring it is a response. And accepting it is receiving life and forgiveness and true joy that makes no sense. So maybe today you feel like, I've got nothing to be joyful about. That might be true, but he's offering you something. So we also have communion elements available. I want to invite you, the Bible tells us to examine our hearts before we take communion. So take some time, talk to God. If you have drifted away from him, tell him that. If you've been wrestling with him, talk to him about that. And then hold these in your hands, this bread and this juice that represents the body and blood of Jesus, and let it remind you what he's done for you. Let it remind you that you are forgiven, you are saved, and then I'll come back and lead us in taking communion in a little while. Some of us still need communion elements. Can we pass these back and take them as you need them? So our text today is about not drifting away from God. And part of life, if you read throughout the Bible, like some big chunks of the Bible are God's followers, his people wrestling with him, you know, asking where he is. Right? They haven't drifted. They're wrestling with him. So it's a good thing to do. So this God uses to draw us back to him. To remind us, it is finished, it is accomplished. Even when we doubt, when we question him, this is his reminder, my son, my daughter, I am here. My work is complete. You're forgiven, you're known. So if you open the bread, what you hold represents the body of Jesus. It was broken for you. And on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." And you can open the juice, which represents the blood of Jesus. And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant. It's confirmed in my blood. Do this to remember me." Jesus, we thank you that over the lies of the enemy and the noise of this world that wants to distract us, you call us back through this meal to remind us of who you are and what that means for us, who we are in you. God, would it draw every part of us back to you and to that truth? And we thank you for your sacrifice and for our life. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Hebrews also encourages us to take a new grip with your tired hands. Take a new grip with your tired hands. That means applying truth to our lives. Right? We take the text that we looked at today, and it's the application of how it applies to us today. So let's take a new grip on Hebrews 2:1 that says, "Listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it." So recently, 8,585 people were stranded at... Could you hand me my water? It's always dangerous to take communion in the middle when you're speaking. People were stranded at sea when their cruise ship, the World Europa, lost power and drifted out to sea. This bad boy is over 1,000 feet long, a gross tonnage of more than 215,000, and it drifted. Water park and all, just drifted. So if even the heaviest, most substantial ships can drift, we are all vulnerable to drifting. So Hebrews tells us to listen very carefully to the truth. It says, listen very carefully. Hebrews says, if you wanted to hear that, you would have leaned in, right? Because where we lean in, where we focus, that is where we go. The word we translate, thank you, somebody got the joke. So where the word that we use is listen, it translates as bring a ship to land. The deeper you dig into the Bible, the more beautiful it gets. Because he says, don't drift, but bring your ship to land. Right? Taking a grip on this verse, applying it to ourselves means that we will head where we are focused, right? As a ship heads where it's steered, our hearts, our thinking, our words, our actions, our lives will go where we are focused. So listen carefully to the truth, because we have an enemy who warps God's word, who works really hard to convince us that we want, that we need. No, you know what? We deserve more than God provided. And he says, you can justify your desires, right? Just take what God warned you against. It'll be fine. So Hebrews says, listen very carefully to the truth because our enemy is subtle, right? He uses your casual, innocent scrolling through social media to stir up the desire that you need more. Right? He'll take your neighbor's new truck and stir up this belief that you deserve more. He's got it. Don't you deserve it? Right? Or your friends have more likes or followers than you, so you need the same. Our enemy's a liar, and he says, your life would be better if you just took that step and had that affair with your coworker. Your enemy's a liar. He will even use your own feelings to convince you that life would be more fulfilling if you had just a little bit more. And his lies are relentless. So Hebrews says, listen very carefully to the truth. It also tells us to mark out a straight path for your feet. So to mark a straight path for your feet means identifying what we need to do. Right? We've applied the truth, and now we need to take action. This is what we need to do. The first action Hebrews tells us to take is to listen to truth. Listen very carefully to the truth. Let's be real practical. What do you listen to? Like, what fills your AirPods? Are your headphones noise canceling or noise inviting? Right? What voices speak into your social media feed or your news feed? What about this? The voice you hear most often, your own voice, what do you tell yourself? Is it truth? Or who do you spend time with? What are they speaking into your life? What are you listening to? And then what needs to change? Because if we're listening to lies, we need to change the channel. We might need to keep some different company, cancel the podcast subscription, unsubscribe, because we need to listen to truth. And next, we need to stay anchored to that truth. Listen carefully to the truth we've heard, or we may drift away from it. Because our nature is to wander off course. Right? Our feelings change and we move, we drift, but God does not. Our hope is in Jesus, and Hebrews 6 says that that hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. So stay anchored to the truth. Read God's word. Right? We can't do what God wants us to do if we don't know what he said. Stay anchored to truth. Read God's word. Pray. Talk to him. Be in community with your church family. Stay anchored so that when you drift, you are secured to hope and you're pulled back by truth. Notice I said when we drift, because we are people. We are prone to wander. And the idea is to stay anchored to truth, because if you're anchored to nothing, you drift and drift and drift, and coming back is a lot of hard work. But when we are anchored to truth, we're close enough to God that he brings us back. Right, we are secured to hope, and truth pulls us back. So listen so close to that truth and stay anchored to it. It's what God calls us to do. So when I realized how much my old neighborhood had changed, that was my title when I lived in Queens, no big deal. Just when I realized how much the neighborhood had changed, we were back in Queens meeting Christy's mom. She was going to take our family on a cruise. Thankfully, the ship did not drift. And we avoided the Bermuda Triangle, I think. But when I was in Queens, I showed the kids my old apartment. And are some things nicer in your memory? And then you go back and realize it wasn't. But I looked at my old door like it was a portal to the past. And that looks like a door that nothing good happened behind, right? So that's like a gateway to memories of a time that can be described by one word: drifting. When I lived in that place, I was drifting. I had coasted away from truth, and I was drowning. I was drowning, and God did not throw me a life preserver. And he did not tell me to swim harder. You know what he did? He jumped in with me. He lifted me above the waves. Right? He tethered me to himself and he moved forward. He breathed life back into my lungs and he set me back on course. And I promise you, if he could do that for me, then he can do it for you today. I promise. Listen very carefully to his truth. Stay anchored to it. Stay secured to Jesus, who is the strong and trustworthy anchor for your soul. God, thank you that you are the anchor. Nothing can break the tie you've given us through your son, Jesus. Nothing can separate us from your love. The love that you sent not to condemn us, but to save us. So may we listen so carefully to that truth and stay anchored to it. In Jesus' name.